Man, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. And what number podcast is this?
67.
67.
67. 67. How do you know about that, boys?
Imagine that's my name too. Stephen LaCola comes out the 6'7".
Imagine that. Wow. Huh? Yeah. Stevie LaCola. We got a special guest tonight. A lot of people, you know, talk about him, you know, especially anybody who lives within, like our friend Mark lives close to the North End, actually. He lives in over the bridge in Charlestown, but he's, you know, mentioned your name, Steve LaCola. And I know you from the feast, St. Anthony's Feast.
Yep.
Carrying the...
St. Anthony.
Yeah, carrying St. Anthony around on your shoulder. Last time I saw you, your shoulder was mashed.
Yeah, it was mashed. It was bad.
And you know, you've recently had a couple of videos on social media that have been circulated, widely circulated. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to do a little something.
Yeah. And what's your Instagram again?
Big Steve_617.
Big Steve_617 on Instagram. And the 617 is a big thing because Steve is not a fan of people claiming the 617.
Right.
That are not from Boston. And they're claiming Boston. And this really gets you going.
Yeah, it does. It definitely gets me going because it's like people who are really from Boston that are trying to do something are getting weeded out because they got these people from out of town.
Some bozo from Winthrop.
From God knows where. Like, they're claiming Boston and they're getting deals. They're going here. They're going there. And it's like, what's up? Like, I'm really from here. Like, let me get a shot.
Yeah, can I eat?
Can I live?
You know?
Right.
Free sandwich every now and then?
I just want a little publicity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want a shot. That's all.
And that's what we're doing here, Big Steve.
Yep.
So you grew up your whole life in the North End?
Born and raised.
Really? You know, like a lot of neighborhoods in Boston, got a couple friends of mine here, Kevin and Mark. They're both from South Boston. He lives in Charlestown now. But, you know, most of these neighborhoods like East Boston, South Boston, Charlestown, the North End, you just get priced out. They get gentrified. Yep. The rents go up. Everybody, you know, that have lived there for generations, you know, there's not many that hang in there and don't sell out when the price of real estate went through the roof. Right. My friend Kevin here still lives in his childhood home.
Right.
They didn't, you lived there your whole life, right? That house?
Yeah.
They didn't fucking sell out, but most people do, you know, when you buy a house for $40,000, $30,000, a triple decker in the 70s or 80s, and now you can sell it for, you know, 2 million, 3 million or whatever.
Right.
You know, most people go and there goes the neighborhood and the history with it. But the North End is still some.
It's somewhat, they definitely kept the culture as much as possible. They're trying to keep the culture as much as possible.
And what culture is that?
That's the Italian, Sicilian, like straight off the boat, like family, community, structure, kids, all that. Like just how I grew up, how my parents grew up, when my grandparents came over from Italy, like they spoke Italian at home, but they taught their kids English. You know what I mean? They turned Americanized. because they were happy to be in America, but they kept their culture. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, they didn't lose. They didn't lose their culture.
They were. Right, exactly, exactly.
So your parents were born here, your grandparents.
My great-grandparents came on the boat. My grandparents, two of my grandparents are actually born on the boat.
Wow.
And then they lived in the same house on Endicott Street, one side. My real grandmother died when she was 14, but she had five sisters. So they grew my mother up, and my aunt, we call her Mickey. Everybody in the neighborhood knew her. She was 4'10". Her hair was this high, and she was legitimately a gangster. Like
need photos.
I had them. I have videos, photos, all that. Lived in the same building on Endicott Street her whole life. She lived to be 97. And, you know, it was just...
Never left the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Never left that house.
Never, no.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan, as Mark knows, I'm a big fan of the North End.
Yeah.
All right, Mark gives me, you know, a little grief once in a while, because when I come into town, he catches me over in the North End.
Yeah.
Tells me I got to get a nice Italian horn like you got. But, yeah. I mean...
This is actually my Aunt Mickey's horn.
Really?
Yeah. This is my real grandmother's cross that passed away when my mother was 14. This is my Aunt Mickey's horn. It's pink coral. And this is my real grandmother's chain. It's 18 carats straight from Italy. And I actually think it's her mother's chain. So it might be like 200 years old or something like that. I'm not even bullshitting.
Yeah, shit's been passed down.
Yeah.
It's been passed down. So as people know, like I grew up with Irish American family, and there isn't much tradition as far as, you know, food, you know, yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you ever hear someone say they go out for Irish food?
No.
No, you've no. never.
No,
and you
I never
will.
Heard that. No.
Big Steve.
No.
You never will.
No.
If you do, they're fucking demented. Or it's or it's St. Patrick's
yeah.
Day. But I'm a big fan of Italian cuisine. Yeah. So can you cook?
Oh, I can cook. Yeah, I'm a beast at cooking.
Really?
Yeah, my father's a great cook. My mother's a great cook. But my Aunt Mickey actually cooked for the whole family until the day she died. Every Sunday.
At
97. It was
amazing to me because I had such a fractured family. You know, like, you know, kind of like, you know, my friend here, you know, we didn't have much of like, you know, these big Sunday dinners. I mean, I speak for myself, right? There was none of that growing up, you know, for me anyway.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it's such a cool thing to have that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She cooked that day and that night she passed away in her sleep. Thank God. She went out peacefully. She went out like a dog. Like she did her own errands. She wouldn't let me do anything for her. She did her own errands every week. She went out every single day from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 5 o'clock at night at Sal's lunch. She bought all the hot shit that came through. Anything that was hot, she bought it. I still have...
Who was the guy on there that used to buy all the hot shit?
Biffo.
Yeah, Biffo.
He just passed away, too, at 98.
I made a few trips down there, so...
He was either 98 or 99, he died.
He just recently died. He used to buy all the boosters.
Yeah. Okay, we still have Prilosec that she bought from him. No bullshit.
And I might have brought that Prilosec to Steve.
No, we still have Prilosec in my house because I'm still in my childhood building too. Yeah. It's my uncle's building.
Is it on Endicott?
No, it's on Cooper. It's on the same block.
Yeah, right there on the street.
It's on the same block.
I just got in a little. Speaking of Cooper Street, the day of the. Of the St. Patrick's Day. No, the day of the Celtics parade.
Yeah.
I'm going over the North End to meet some people. And I go down the end of Cooper Street, at the very bottom of Cooper Street. yeah, by like North Washington, and yep, there's a little parking lot across from that yep club or whatever. And I go to pull in this parking lot and I crush a fucking yeah Volvo's bumper, right? Yeah. And I think I just, you know, it's a real narrow parking lot. I'm yeah in the truck, oh, yeah, right? So I hit it. Now I'm backing up. I'm still trying to park. And
yeah,
you know, people in the car are like, listen, I think you just hit that kind. I go, nah, it's nothing. Yeah. So I get out and look and it's crushed, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I'm like, fuck. So I was with Harmon, Be a Man. You know the Be a Man guy?
Yeah, I might have heard of him. I'm not, I don't know him, no. I don't
all
know
right. Him, so he's got a big Instagram and TikTok and everything. And he's like, he goes, hit a parked car and take off, Be a Man. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. So I start laughing. And the girl's with Shin goes, you know, they have cameras in those cars. I'm like, no, they don't. And she has, I hit a Volvo or an Audi. What does she have?
Even when it's off?
Even when it's off. She goes, you're done. They got your plate. It took a picture of your plate. I'm like, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
Sure enough, got the old ticket in the mail from BPD.
Wow, that's good to know.
Leaving the seat.
Even when it's off.
After property
damage.
That's
wild.
But yeah, down on Cooper Street. So you grew up on Cooper?
I grew up on Cooper. Yeah, Cooper and Endicott. I was either at my Aunt Mickey's house or my house every day. I would go there after we leave the Nazar Center, the Boys and Girls Club. We play sport. We go to school. We play sports. And then I had to be at my Aunt Mickey's house by 5 o'clock. She was coming down and finding me.
No.
And dragging me by my head to the house to eat. Like, it was insane. You got this 4'5" lady dragging me by the head. Like, where the are you? Why aren't you at the house by 5 o'clock?
See, too bad social media wasn't around then. Imagine the videos that'd be
shared. I wish, because me and my family used to legitimately say, like, I wish we had somewhere to make videos and put her on there.
Yeah.
Because she was the wildest woman. Her mouth was the craziest. She told everybody to go themselves. They were fucking assholes. They were this,
they
that
were, Steve.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay, absolutely. Like, we were all wild. Like, me, my uncles, they, my cousins.
Licola? Was she a Licola too?
No, she was, her last name was Luongo. She never actually got married. My mother's maiden name is Renda. And my father's name is Licola. Yeah. So it's Renda Licola, and she was a Luongo.
And, yeah, I knew some Luongos.
Yeah, she never got married, but she had a boyfriend for over 80 years. Not 80, but like 60.
Close,
I think it was
enough.
Like 60-something years. And they lived in the same building. They never lived in the same apartment. They lived in the
perfect,
same building,
right?
Though. Yeah.
See?
That's
yeah
why it lasted.
Hey, anyone that knows now, you're like,
that's why it lasted so long.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
He went upstairs to his spot after they were done, and that was it. He was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going the fuck home. I'm not dealing with this crazy
father
woman.
Growing up. My friend's parents growing up, they had separate beds. And I remember when we were younger, we used to laugh. Like, they were old school Greeks. Kid Mark Alamesis, and I used to say, what the fuck? But now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, it's genius.
Genius.
But that's one step ahead of that.
Yeah.
Same building, different apartments.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I know Roche is off of that idea.
You know that.
He's over there, thumbs up. Yeah. I'm pumping his fist. Might be a little change going on tonight over at South Boston when he gets home. Someone's heading down to the basement. So, sorry, Mel. Who took over the cooking?
So my mother took over the cooking.
All right.
My mother took over the cooking. She cooks for us every Sunday, but like the whole family, they come over once in a while. It's not the same. It's not the same, but they try to keep it the same. You know what I mean? They definitely come over. We have as many people over as we can on Sundays. But my mother cooks for us every Sunday. She makes a gravy. We call it gravy because we put meat in it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Huge gravy guy.
Yeah, we put the meatballs. We put pork. We put spare ribs. We put sausages. That's why we call it gravy, because it's not just red sauce. It's not just marinara sauce. Like, we put everything in there. That's why it comes out so good and it's thick. Oh, it's incredible. I'll invite you over one day. So
all day long, I could just eat bread and butter and sauce, right? We call it sauce, right? I never even knew about this gravy thing.
Yeah.
So maybe a few years, you know, 10 years ago, it started to become a thing. It's not sauce, it's gravy, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, it was always just spaghetti sauce for me, you know?
Right.
We get my mother would get the good stuff too, the Pregos in the glass. I still remember the sound when you pop it.
Yeah.
And then when she'd put it on the microwave, it would come out of the whole house. It would smell great. And we get the Wonder Bread. It was
the Wonder Bread.
Maybe a little different.
Yeah, but, a little slight difference.
But yeah. No, seriously, I'm taking you up on that. I need a nice bowl of fucking gravy.
No question. Next week, if my mother cooks, you're coming over.
It's banana land, right? Unless, you know, you're Italian or even if you're from Boston, you grew up and you got friends in the North End and, you know, we get it. But people on the outside, like families that are still cooking a Sunday gravy and everyone going over and eat, it's just a...
It's different.
It's I don't want to say it's dead, right? But it's...
Right.
It's tradition.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
And like the way the state of the world, they're pushing to get rid of that, I feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why you guys got to dig in.
Right, exactly. It's like if the rents weren't $3,000 for a studio, like you were saying in the beginning, like a lot of people didn't have money growing up. Like people did not have money and then all of a sudden their parents die and their buildings worth $2.5 million. They don't have fucking $10 to go buy a pack of cigarettes. They're going to sell the building for $2.5 million and go buy a house in Medford or Saugus or something for like $750,000 and keep the rest.
And a lot of people that did that in the early 2000s or the late 90s, right? All of a sudden those fucking houses that they thought, oh man, we can get $2 million of this right now. Now they're worth, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever they sold it for, it's worth triple that now.
Right, exactly.
At the time, they probably thought there's no way this can go up. Same with South Boston and Charlestown, right? You thought there's no way it could get more. We better strike while the iron's hot. And, you know, it just kept going up and up and up. And I don't know how people even afford rents.
It's incredible. My uncle owns my building. And that was one of the reasons why we've been able to stay there for so long. There's no way. We have three floors and then there's another apartment above that. And then there's another apartment above that.
Wow.
So it's like, that's a big money building.
Anybody else left on your street you grew up with?
There's a couple. The dude Flash, my boy Flash, he runs Politically Incorrect Food Tour.
All
right. He's
there.
Shout out Flash. Mark from the corner store. You know the corner store?
Yeah, of course.
They closed that. Shout out Mark.
Yeah.
There's Benny and Antonella and Orazio. They live at the top of the street. They've been there forever. My uncle owns a building a couple doors down. His wife and their families live in there.
So there's still some people left.
There's still left on that block. Endicott Street is more. There's more on Endicott Street.
Yeah,
I would say than Cooper Street because it's a smaller street, and Endicott was like it was the main street for our side of the North End.
Yeah,
and there's still a good amount of families down there, but I mean even there, it's dwindling. I mean it's dwindling. It's sad. Because you come out, this is before, like my generation was the last generation to grow up. I'm 35.
Going to school, growing in the neighborhood.
Like with no phones, no none of that. Like we go to school, we meet on Saturdays, we meet up in the park at 12 o'clock, we do whatever. And like they come by, they yell, we whistle. That was our whistle. So, like, everybody did the whistle. We would yell out each other's window. Like,
is when that what you do when you saw an Irish kid strolling down the street?
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, yo. Yeah.
The old whistle.
The whistle will come on. I mean,
Mark, like, Mark, what's that whistle? Like,
yeah. Hey, we have.
That's the enemy whistle.
The enemy. Did you not the enemy, but the enemy. Well, we have bricks on every roof. Like, no bullshit. Like, there were bricks on every roof. It was wild.
Nice brick off the head.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, bro. I wouldn't trade growing up in the North End for anything. No matter what I went through, no matter how bad my life took a turn at some points and whatever, I would not trade in my childhood and growing up in the North End for anything. You couldn't give me any amount of money to trade in my growing up there.
So when I first started, I mean, going down there forever, but when I was 17, 18, I got out of Berghaus Correction when I was 18, and I was selling coke, and, you know, I started doing all right, making money. We used to go down, like, I'd be out all hours of the night, and I'd always go down to the Cafe Pompeii at 1, 2, 3 in the morning,
yep,
because it was open till 4 a.m., and just go in and get a chicken cutlet with cheese and sauce, yep, and, you know. And that place, it might have been the only place that was open serving food till 4 in the morning. So when all the bars would get out, there would be a line down the block. Yeah. And the guys there, the Marino, Mario's kids and stuff, they started to get to know me a little because I'd always go in there and I'd always tip good. You know, I'd never be cheap. And a lot of those college kids would be drunk and 8 of them would be at a table and make me act like assholes, leave a buck. So they'd see me coming. And they'd, you know, let me double park and they'd cut the line. I used to feel like, you know, it was long before Goodfellas, but I kind of felt like, you know, I used to like taking a broad down. They'd be like, you know what I mean? So it was a whole vibe, right? Yeah. As they say, you know, a real cool experience. And it's always been a unique neighborhood.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
And you know, when it starts, you know, it starts going downhill and like I tell people, you know, I grew up in Lowell and the surrounding towns and nice towns like Westford and Chelmsford.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago, like when the town of Westford and stuff were all over the news, like fighting, they didn't want a Walmart built in their town. I'm like, look at these assholes, right? But I didn't realize they're like, no, we got a nice little place here.
Right.
We don't want these, you know, it's like having a McDonald's on Hanover Street.
Right.
But at the time when I was watching that, I'm like, why do they care? You know, and now I see with neighborhoods like this, when you got some fucking yogurt shop coming in or some bullshit, you're saying, hey, no.
Trying to keep it the way it is. Like,
yeah.
We don't want none of the outside stuff in here. But, I mean, times are changing, man. I mean, there's no way to stop.
People are selling out.
Selling out.
Now, what do you think of the new project down at the end of Hanover there with Martinetti's Liquors used to be in the European? That, you know, I used to park up on there, right?
Yeah.
And I got towed there one night. But now they're having, it's Frank's putting something there. It was on the news the other day. They said that's going to be like the entrance to the North End. You see that?
Yeah. Yeah. So they tried this once already. They bought all that property. That used to be Martinetti's Liquors.
Yeah.
They bought all that property. They renovated it. They made it into a couple sub shops, this and that. And it lasted literally 3 months. And that was it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes this time.
Yeah.
I mean, it is literally the entrance to the North End. And they could make it beautiful. So we'll see what they do. I mean, I don't know the exact plans and what they're putting in there. But I mean, the construction is going as we speak.
Wow, I haven't. Yeah,
it's going fast too, like really fast.
I think they might be putting in like some hotel rooms there, maybe,
really?
Or like some Airbnbs and like some little shops or something.
I did hear that.
You know, so yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be different. I used to like parking there, but then that's in that DA fucking.
Yeah,
you probably know her. She lives around there.
Yeah,
she's a district attorney. I got in a little argument with her. I didn't know she was I didn't know she had any power with the old Boston Police Department, but I found out rather quickly.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, it's going to be a lot different down there. But as far as Hanover Street goes, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, pretty much the same. Yeah, you got a lot of the same owners, and then Frankie D, and then a couple other people like Carla Gomez. They're buying. who are not them people. They're buying some places and keeping it the same, which is solid. You got Nikki D buying some stuff. They have what's that place called? Across the street from the cantina that are all the famous.
Oh, didn't people. Bobby Gomez just get the cantina?
Yeah, they got the cantina. Yep. Gomez, yeah. Shout out Gomez.
Speaking of Gomez, he shot us a text when he found out you were with us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, something about a stabbing in the.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. He didn't have a brick handy.
So,
had to pull out the old switchblade.
So, back in 2016, you know, I'm doing good. I'm doing the right thing. I got this new girl. We just came out of the bar, the living room on Atlantic Ave. We're walking home. It's like 2:15, 2:30. We hit Salem Street, and there's like eight kids. Not kids, men. I just say kids.
Yeah.
Grown men. And there was a couple of their girlfriends. And me and my girl were walking down the street, and one of the kids kicked a box, and it hit my girl. And I snapped. And I'm like, and I'm snapping, and there's eight of them. And one of the girls grabbed my girl. And as soon as the girl grabbed my girl, I laid out this kid. I laid him out. I stomped on his shit. I already did time for this, so it's not like I'm telling on myself. Yeah. I stomped on his face, crushed his shit. Now they're all trying to jump me. I'm a block away from my house. At the time, my best friend, who was like my brother, just got murdered. R.I.P. Luigi Epifania, one of the greatest. I had on a bulletproof vest.
Of course you did.
So I ran home. I got my girl in the house. Now they followed me to my house. I'm inside. My mother's there. My father's there. My father's a straight animal, too, mind you. But they're, like, I go in, and I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to get them to go away. They won't go away. They're banging on the door. So I grab two butcher knives and I go out the back door.
Like a gent.
So I go out the back door. I climb over the fence. I hit the corner. As soon as I hit the corner, I'm going after them. I got one of them in range. I got the knife up. I got one like closest me to you. And then the cops. Somebody must have called the cops.
When we were
fighting, somebody must have called the cops. And as soon as I was about to swing, I hear, "Steven, get on the ground. Get on the fucking ground." And when I hear my name, I hear my first name, I turn around and I'm like, "Yo, what's up?" And I like turned towards them with the knives, and it was the enemy. It was the cops.
Just as I suspect.
And like it felt like forever, but it was a split second. And they were like, "Get on the ground." And I'm thinking to myself, they got their guns out. And I'm like, I got my vest on. I could run. And then I'm like, nah, they're not, they're gonna shoot me. They're not gonna shoot for the chest. They're shooting for the head. So I ended up getting down. I put the knives down. They arrested me. They took me in. I ended up doing whatever. So they had Fox 25 News standing on my doorstep. Crystal Haynes standing on my doorstep for 3 days trying to get people to talk bad about me. And not
that's one, a tough assignment on yeah, and fucking not one Cooper person, Street, my friend.
Shout out all the people in the North End, because not one person said anything bad.
So listen, back to the thing with Crystal Haynes on your door and everything. Yeah. Where were the people from?
I'm not sure where they were from. They were from out of town, but they did not testify because
What I was going to say. They called the cops. I was thinking they were right there. Yeah. No, they didn't, huh?
No, they one of them might have, I don't know if they called the cops, but they wouldn't testify. They said they were scared of retaliation.
Good.
So I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. No.
Notch in the belt.
Yeah, you know that. I got a bullet for almost killing seven people.
Like, so people don't know a bullet is 1 year.
1 year. 1 year.
In the Suffolk County House of Correction.
Shout out Phil Tracy.
Let's go, Phil Tracy. Phil got you a year, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you do on that? 8 months?
No, I did the whole. I do the whole. I end up. I always usually end up doing my whole bin.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, wasn't much of a good time, guy. Yeah.
Me and Roche met back in the day.
So, Bay.
Before the boogie down, but then, we met back up in the boogie down. So I'm in there. I'm miserable. I just got 18 months, my first bid. I'm 20 or 21. I'm like 165 pounds soaking wet. Usually I'm like 185, like 190. I'm hurting. I'm in the infirmary. You know how they put people in the infirmary the first couple of days? So there was this dude, Eddie Ray. He looks like the dude Debo. No bullshit, no lie. Everything I love, he looks like the dude Debo. Roche. He looks like the... He thinks
Roche
he looks
confirmed
like,
it.
He looked, he thinks he camera. Looks like the dude from Green Gave Mile. I say Debo, same shit.
Yeah.
Yo, so I finally fall asleep. It's day two. I finally fall asleep. He's banging on the door. I'm like, yo, he wakes me up. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. He's like, would you say, little bitch ass white boy?
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, God, here we go. I'm like, let me get down off this bunk. He's like, go ahead. He's like, you serious? Go ahead, get off this bunk. I get down. I hit him a missile. I hit him a straight missile. And usually, like, I'm not saying I'm tough or this and that, but, like, I got a missile. Like, if I'm not 165 pounds hurting, like, I got a shot. And this dude just looked at me. And I'm like, oh, fuck. He hit me a left. His hand was the size of my face. He hit me a left, crushed me. I go back. I didn't go down, but I go back a couple steps. My nose opened up. There's blood everywhere. I just put my head down and I start throwing. And he bear hugs me and he's like, hey, yo, kid, stop. He's like, stop before I hurt you. And I'm like, all right, you got that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got that.
Gave you an out, you took it.
Yeah, I'm like, you got that. We shake hands for the next 3 hours. I'm standing over the toilet with my nose leaking blood.
I want the cops to see.
So we clean up. I clean up the floor. He helps me clean up. I'm standing over the toilet. Finally, I get my nose to start bleeding. The next morning, you know, the nurse comes in. They give you your meds or whatever. I got little black eyes, and they're like, yeah, you didn't look like you had black eyes when you came in. I'm like, nah, I had them when I came in. They're like, no, you didn't. Let me see your ID. And I'm like, excuse me. I show them my ID, and there's no black eyes. Excuse me. So they take me to the box, and they're trying to get out of me. They're like, who did this, blah, 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 what happened? And I'm like, No, nothing happened. I walked into a bunk. That's what happened. So whatever. I'm in the box. I come back. I go to 3-1 in South Bay. They call that the jungle. And this was in 2011 or 2012 when it was still really the jungle. Three mans to a cell. Like, it was insane. I had two huge black eyes. Like raccoon eyes, like my nose was crushed, and I'm out there.
When
telling,
you saw Roche, he was a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, right? He was like, I'm telling people, I fought this dude. He's like 6'4", 6'5", 270, and they're like, yeah, all right, kid. They're like, yeah, what really happened? I'm like, I fought a dude, a monster, and they're like, yeah, okay. A couple days later. He comes walking in. His name is Eddie Ray. Shout out Eddie Ray if you're still alive. He comes walking in, and all you hear is, hey, Stevie. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. Here we fucking go. He's like, nah. He's like, I walk around here calling dudes punks and bitches all day. No one does nothing. He's like, you're the only one who ever did anything. He's like, white, black, Spanish, I don't give a fuck. They fuck with you. They fuck with me. I want everybody to know that. And from that on, Eddie Ray was my boy. And then everyone knew that I was telling the truth. Like, no one believed me at that first. Obviously, you come in with two black guys, you're going to be like, yeah, I fought the biggest dude, and I fought Mike Tyson. But usually, like, you don't. Like, yeah. It's a bullshit. But no, when he came in, that dude was legit Debo. And they seen that I wasn't bullshitting.
Where was he from?
He's from Castle Square. He was from Castle Square. And you want to hear a crazy, crazy story? Years later, my mother works at a jewelry store. This guy, huge black guy, comes walking in with a bald head, comes up. He's like, yeah, I'm coming to pick up some jewelry for my mother. And my mother's looking at him. She's like, this gotta be this guy.
No.
He hands her a slip and it says Eddie Ray on it. And it's him. And she goes, Eddie Ray? And he goes, yeah, why? This dude did 20 years straight upstate. He was a boxer. Like, this dude's a straight animal. Like, he slept on the stale. He didn't sleep on a mattress. He slept straight up.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day. I was talking to Shin about that, where a lot of guys up in Walpole will take the mattress and put it under the bed and sleep on the metal.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, mattresses are bad for your back. I'm like, yeah.
So stale.
Yeah, a lot of them do. It's a weird thing.
I don't understand it, but yeah.
Fuck that. I need a double.
Need
a nice mattress and a pillow.
I need a double joint.
But yeah, you see that. A lot of fucking wackos do that.
Hey, so he hands her a slip. It says Eddie Ray. And my mother, she goes, Eddie Ray, huh?
We need Eddie Ray on the pod, huh?
Yeah. Hey, and he goes, yeah, why? And he goes, you know my son. And she goes, who's your boy? He goes, Stephen LaCola from the North End. And he goes, oh, that's your boy? Yeah, that's my dog. He's like, how's he doing? And she's like, yeah, he's doing good. Imagine that. Like, years later, he walked into where my mother works, and they ended up meeting.
Crazy. What do we got on the wrist? St. Anthony?
No, I got St. Benedictus on the wrist.
All right.
Keeps the demons away.
It's a good guess, right, St. Anthony?
I'm a member of the St. Anthony Society.
My mother and my aunts, for some reason, whenever they lose the keys, when I was a little kid, pray to St. Anthony. Yeah. I don't know what that's about, but pray to St. Anthony when they lost something.
St. Anthony, come around. Something's lost that can't be found.
There you go.
It works every time. I swear to God. Every time it works. No bullshit.
Yeah, losing keys, everything. When I was a little kid. Pray to St. Anthony, like, what?
Yep.
Yeah. So I should have kept that alive with my kids, but no, you know? I'm not good with the fucking tradition.
Well, now you got it. St. Anthony, come around. Something's lost that can't be found.
There we go.
And it works every time.
I'm going to be saying it Sunday, and I'm going to find a nice bowl of gravy.
Yep. Legit. Legit. As soon as I get home, I'm calling my mom. We're having Shooter over this weekend. Marky, Roche. We'll have a big... We're doing it. We'll do it this weekend.
Nice. You know what I never realized? About the feast, St. Anthony's feast, and the other feast, St. Anthony's the biggest, obviously.
Yeah, the biggest, yeah.
I never even thought about the money it generates in the neighborhood and the money it brings in, period. Like, you know, all those booths, people. Yeah. I never even stopped to think, oh, okay, each person pays to have their little booth here to sell this and sell that. Like, I never thought of everything, you know, that goes into it. But then I'm like, holy shit, that's a fucking... It's a nice little thing you got going. They got going on. Whoever runs it, you know, St. Anthony Society or you know, St. Joe Society, whatever feast they got going on.
Yeah.
What's the biggest? Fisherman's and St. Anthony's?
St. Anthony's are the biggest. Excuse me. And then the Fisherman's. And then there's Madonna della Cava and St. Agrippina. And then they started St. Joseph's again. When I was a kid, they had one every weekend of the summer. But now there's now there's four.
Now, what do you think of, and obviously, right, I'm sure the North End people, like, agree with it and stuff, because, you know, I get it, but I look at both sides, like keeping the kids out and cotton people. But I know they go in there drunk and the idiots go and start fights and stuff. And I'm like, when they're fucking setting up sawhorses and IDing people to get in, I'm kind of like, oh, this sucks.
You know what I mean? I literally didn't go to any of the Hanover Street feasts because I refused to get ID'd in my neighborhood
where I've been some
fucking bozo that I've been going my whole life. I know everybody who's in the club. I refuse to do it. I'm not doing it. And the first one, St. Joseph's, I walk right by them. I'm not doing it. Call the cops if you want. I'm not giving you my idea. I'm from here.
And I can relate to it. If I'm alone, someone's caught me to go in somewhere, you and Salty. You know what I mean? Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Coming here my whole fucking life, this nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
But you know what it is? There's no young and North End kids to keep these kids out anymore. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, we would crack any boys that would come through.
Yeah, pissing on these fucking houses, down trouble.
They wouldn't even be allowed past Cross Street.
Yeah.
Only girls would be allowed. Even before phones. We'd get the word in the park. There would be crews of kids everywhere.
Yeah.
So, there would no, unless you knew us, unless you were invited, only the girls came.
Yeah.
There were no boys. There were no kids.
Well played. Big Steve. Right.
Of course. And St. Anthony's was always the worst because we have 1,000, literally maybe 200 to 300 of our kids in either the Gassy or behind the skating rink. And then we'd have our boys from Salty. And then we have our we'd be beefing with North End and them and these and them. St. Anthony's would just be a wild ass weekend, but we keep it away from the feast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We keep it.
You said, there's no more younger kids to keep that going.
Right. There's no.
But speaking of down by the ice rink and stuff, how about Nest?
Oh my God. Number one.
Did you hear?
Our pitcher Maki right here.
Did you hear about Ness this year?
Oh my God.
They were the talk of the feast.
Talk of everything. We're the champs. Ness 2025 champs. We're coming back next year, taking it again. North End softball team, Ness. Number one.
Yeah, they are.
Corner cap, bow.
Oh, shots fired at the unit.
Yeah, you know that.
Ness won it all. They were, at first, they were a little upset when they brought in, they claimed Mark off waivers.
Yeah, they were a little upset, but they brought their own people. They brought their own people. They just didn't like it because Mark was better than them. They didn't like the fact that
when I was down there telling people, I'm like, he's not a pitcher. And they're like, they wanted to fight me for great. basically calling me a fucking bald-faced liar. Yeah. And I said, no, he's really not a pitcher.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
And then I looked up. I heard the catcher's mitt snap again. He was up there throwing BBs.
Throwing
I'm like,
gas.
I understand it doesn't look like he's not a pitcher, but.
Right, but
he's a center fielder.
We didn't just bring him in for the playoffs, though. He played He played throughout the whole season. He just had other things he had to do. You got family, you got work, you know what I mean? He couldn't be there every night, but he was there throughout the whole season.
And
don't let them tell you different.
I had a long talk with him too. He's gonna start, he's gonna start warming up a month or two before the season, getting ready this year. So you gotta let him know down the corner cafe.
Roche haven't seen nothing yet. Roche is there every game.
And I'm surprised that Gomez is still around. I figured he'd be sleeping with the fishes for bringing Mark Mark onto the team.
Yeah.
There's gotta be some type of hit out on him, something.
They know better. They don't want that smoke. You know what I'm saying? They don't want that. And you were talking about the Celtics parade earlier. I was in the banner ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, awesome. I was literally in the banner ceremony. They were filming something on Hanover Street for the Celtics banner ceremony, and I got in it. And it was on... while they were giving out, it was on, you know how they had the thing down Government Center?
Yeah.
There was like 40,000 people down there. I was on the big screen. I was on inside the garden while they were putting the banner up. It was wild.
I was on the floor when they won it.
I was at the game.
Yeah, I had the worst seats in the place. And then with like 7 minutes left, I started making my way down.
Yeah,
right? And then at the very end, like security guards, when I got down, it was a boat race, right?
Yeah.
So with like 2-3 minutes left, you knew it was over.
Yeah.
So they kind of laxed up and I walked right down to the fucking floor. So when the clock ticked down and everything exploded and the confetti, I was right there. And people were like, dude, what'd you pay for those seats? I'm like, I was nothing. Don't worry about it.
You know what I mean?
But I got the cheapest seat in the house. I was literally last row at the very top. But when it mattered, I was right down on the floor. You know, when they won. But Steve, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
You're a fucking great guest.
Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna give my guy a follow over there.
Yeah, definitely.
What is it, Big Steve?
Big Steve underscore 617.
617. Anything else? Anyone, any shout outs?
Shout out Frankie Mendoza and Monica's.
Oh, it's my guy, Frankie.
This is their shirt right there. They made this, the North End. Shout out Nest. Shout out everybody from the North End who's still there.
Whose shirt's that?
This is Frankie Mendoza.
That's my guy.
From
right
Monica's.
That's
my
guy.
They made this. Shout them out. Shout out the Cantina, Bobby Gomes, the Gomez family, Dave. Shout out the whole crew, Nest, Monkey, Roast. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
We got to get you back. You're a great one. I could talk with you all fucking night.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't done a podcast in a while. I was slacking. I didn't know if I was going to do it again. So now I'm up and down. Now he might not be in the studio anymore. So I might have to relocate somewhere closer to Lowell. I know you don't venture out of the North End too often, but we might need you. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, I'll make it.
All right. You're going to be a guest co-host every once in a while.
Definitely.
And everybody give him a follow, man. He's the man.
Thank you.
6'7".
6'7".
That's it, boy.
That's it. Let's go.
Beat shooter, like a gym, let's go. Beat shooter, it's not a line, he doesn't tow. In a world full of dogs, you're gonna need a dog catcher. If you're wearing a mask out there, if a sheriff's gonna get you. He always shoots from the hip for iced coffee, take a sip. Toss it.